Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Every Monday at 10:30, we talk to Jonathan Hutton from OutKick. Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow is the show. Weekdays from 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. Hut, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Big Joe, what's up, man?
My man, Jonathan Hutton. I take full pleasure and pride that I gave you your first shot on TV back in 2010.
was it that long ago? It was?
It was 2010, yeah.
No, it was you. I know it was you.
It was last year of Fisher, and then we continued to next year when Mr. Munchak took over. So I'd like
you know what?
3%.
It was Big Joe, and then literally maybe 2 weeks later, Hope Hines on News Channel 5 Plus and on Sportsline, Joe. And Hope has always said that too, and I always have to correct him and be like, no, actually it was Big Joe Dubin that has that honor.
I would, or as I like to say,
made that mistake.
I would say something to Hope, but I'm afraid he would do the beatdown like he almost did with another Nashville sports reporter. So I'll just
right. Koharski. Yeah.
Name names. Why not?
Yeah, right. Name names. Yeah. Koharski. But Joe, I think you would actually step outside on the grass with him, right. Like PK did.
Right. So we'll get into some Titans with you in a moment.
What a day that was, by the way.
I've heard this story.
So much fun.
I have heard this for sure. But we'll get into some Titans in a second, but a fun weekend of college football. I used the analogy earlier, you know, you got college football coaches, if you're looking at it like pro wrestling, some are the baby faces, some are the heels. What is Deion Sanders at this point now at Colorado?
I mean, he's whatever you need him to be. he can play baby face or heel. It doesn't matter which. Look, I think for the most part, Chase, he's been a breath of fresh air. Because a lot of these coaches complain and they pout about name, image, likeness, the transfer portal. And Deion is just, you know, yeah, we're doing it, you know, come and stop us kind of thing. And it's great from a fan base perspective. And here's the other thing, not just Colorado fan base, I'm saying just college football fan base. He was in the Pac-12. Now he's in the Big 12. He's not in the SEC, and he's not in the Big 10. So for the most part, he doesn't pose a threat. Just wait. He's going to start picking up the phone. They're going to start poaching and recruiting during season or right after. And it's really already started. Travis Etienne has already tweeted about his brother at Florida needing to hit the portal to go to Colorado. Mm. And that is where it's really going to stir the pot, is where he interferes and intersects with the SEC and Big Ten fan bases. People will lose their minds, and that's whenever it'll be Hulk Hogan turns into Hollywood Hogan.
That's a good analogy. You bring up Florida. Joe and I have been kind of debating throughout the show. He thinks that Florida's going to beat Tennessee. I don't think they are. I watched that game, and yes, it's one game against Utah, but it kind of goes back to last season with them that just they don't seem to have it all together. I don't think this thing with Billy Napier is going to work out. And, you know, if you want to talk about poaching and Deion Sanders and being in a bigger school, Florida could be an interesting one to keep an eye on. But what do you think about them to this point with Billy Napier and trying to get them back on track after they decided that what Dan Mullen was doing wasn't good enough?
Well, I think first, no one eats their own better than or and more than the SEC when it comes to college coaching. So last year, I mean, it was this time last year, he was kicking off the team. He was kicking off their leading tackler from a year ago at linebacker. So I think it does take time. I would also remind Florida fans that Jane Rashada was going to be the quarterback at $13 million for name, image, likeness, and they couldn't stroke that check from the collective standpoint. So they end up with Graham Mertz, and he was okay, but he's, I mean, again, it's nothing great, and that roster is nothing great. Napier was considered at the time, and at the time, it's a year and a half ago, whatever it was, whenever we saw Brian Kelly go to LSU, there was a debate on whether or not LSU should pick up the phone and call him. And they didn't want to hire Louisiana Lafayette's coach at Louisiana State University. So they never even really considered it. And then Florida did. So I don't think he's not in a bad spot from a coaching standpoint, but it's just the environment, and he's trying to keep his head above water as long as he can before he goes under, before he even really started to learn how to swim, so to speak. I'm not saying he doesn't know how to coach. I'm saying just in that environment, and that's the SEC. He's got 3 years, and he may not even have that if it goes in a total disaster. They got pushed around up front. Their penalties and miscues in that game were awful. The two number threes on the field is all on Napier. That's all on him. And a few other things as well that you could point to, that they need another recruiting class. Here's his saving grace, though. Right now he has the number three class in America for next year. Mm. That's what he can lean on, but he's also got to win a couple of games here that at least show that there's light at the end of the tunnel and some hope. Before kickoff, I would have told you he's absolutely back. I have friends that are major Gators supporters, a couple that donate to the school. They say, don't start the crap about him being on the hot seat. I haven't heard from them this past weekend. You know what I mean? So it is just about who's available versus what coach you have and how much you want him out the door. And I think it's way too early to say that for Billy Napier at Florida.
Jonathan Hutton is with us from Outkick, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow, weekdays 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan.
That's why, Jonathan, I think Florida wins this game, because they can right that ship quickly. And they got McNeese State this week. They'll beat them, hopefully. But if they beat Tennessee, that Utah is pushed to the side. It's not forefront anymore. And they can really kind of turn things around. And that's a great opportunity for them. And that's why I think they win this game, because there's that extra motivation for them going to that game a week from Saturday down in Gainesville.
Well, the one thing, too, is Tennessee has Joe Milton, not Hendon Hooker. You know, and I don't know which Milton shows up. I thought Milton was fine, by the way. I'm not saying I saw anything that tells me he's going to be just flat awful, but I also haven't seen anything that, you know, would have me thinking, man, what I saw prior to Hendon Hooker taking over, which is the miscues, the inaccurate moments, overthrowing receivers. There has to be a steady consistency from him that I haven't seen with my own eyes over the course of several games, and stack those games. And it really starts on the road in Gainesville. And by the way, he can end my hesitation to jump on board as well with a great performance, because it's been a while since we've seen that. That's what it comes down to, Joe, to me. It's Florida, do they have the talent? Don't they? Do they have the coaching? Do they not? I just think it's, does Joe Milton pick up where Hendon Hooker left off? He did that against Clemson, and he so far has done a nice job against Virginia, who was, you know, a 30-point underdog to an SEC opponent that I think MTSU could give a run with. I'm not on board with everything yet that I've seen from Tennessee, but I know they're a heck of a lot better just eyeballing it than the Florida Gators. But what they haven't been is able to go beat that team on the road in Florida. So Joe Milton's got to play one of his top games. And if he does, that tells me he's ready for the moment. And that's a great sign for the Vols. If not, then he's Joe Milton, who, you know, I would describe as exactly that, very up and down. And it's not like mega lows. It's just, does he have it today or does he not? And I think, for the most part, I could tell you in a first quarter whether or not Milton's got it or not. And he's got to come bring it in the swamp in a couple weeks.
Your thoughts on the darling of the SEC media coaches coming into the season? He was at Media Day. Shane Beamer, that's a bad look, especially Hutton, when you're blaming the chain crew for not getting your onside kick going in the second half. That was not a good weekend for Mr. Beamer.
Yeah, too many hot dogs or whatever,
yeah,
it was.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's not good, right? Look, this was I should have seen this coming. I was on the Shane Beamer bandwagon with how he finished the season, how that team did, Rattler, and I know they play Notre Dame in the postseason, but finishing back-to-back wins over Tennessee and Clemson, and then seeing the way South Carolina played North Carolina and the way UNC carved them up, and then, you know, to see Clemson last night too. I'm thinking to myself, man, why could I not see through the gray area of both of these teams? Beamer, I think, is a very talented motivator. I think he's got some moxie to him behind the scenes. He's like halfway between what you would think of a serious SEC coach is on one end, and then PJ Fleck is on the other. I put Shane Beamer in the middle. Beamer's not going to start shouting, "Row your boat." But at the same time, he's going to pound the chest and be like, "Look over here, look at what we've done." And I think he's done that the last couple of off seasons. And by the way, he's delivered on a lot of that talk, from 5 wins, 7 wins, 9 wins, whatever. Whatever that next rung is for him, he's got to reach. And he could also just stay very neutral and be one of the great coaches that we've seen there just because of consistency. So I think it'll be about what we would expect from South Carolina at the end of things. They're going to beat a team they shouldn't, and they will lose a game to a Kentucky that they have no business losing to based on the situation of the game. Not the program, but a backup quarterback will be in, or there will be a key injury situation during the game. Something will go on, and they'll end up losing that game, and we'll point and be like, yeah, they're just middle of the pack SEC East. But at South Carolina, again, what do they have to do to show improvement? They need to go beat some of the teams that we remember going into an off season, and that's what they did a year ago.
Hutton, Titans will open their season in New Orleans at the Superdome on Sunday. The Saints in a division that's not very good, just kind of similar to what the Titans have here in the AFC South. But what are just your general expectations for the Titans going into a tough place to play this Sunday?
They need to be the bullies up front. They didn't have their identity last year. They want to fly the flag of being the tougher team in the trenches. I mean, for the second half of the season a year ago, Chase, they didn't have their identity. Their identity is Derrick Henry. I have no idea what to expect from the offensive line. But I can tell you, if they don't come firing off the football in week one, they don't have a shot in the AFC South, because they can't point to injury situations in week one. This was also an offense last year in week one that got 16 points. They ended up averaging, by the end of the year, 16 to 19 points per game, injuries or not. I do know this, that it's a defense that can roll with practically any situation given the score, the health, or how bad the offense has been. But to me, the start of this season, not just Sunday, but moving forward through September, early October, comes down to the O-line. Injuries are going to happen. There will be built-in problems. But week one is about starting fast and strong. The strength of this team is the O-line, or has been, and it was not. They've revamped it. 5 brand-new starters. And it's been a team, Chase, over the last 2 seasons. The Giants and the Bengals come to mind. Yeah, the Giants and the Cardinals, excuse me. Cardinals, Giants, last 2 week 1s. Titans were the far inferior opponent in both of those games. So, yeah, they miss a kick against the Giants that could have won it. Bullock missed it. But it was the Giants that dominated them. Ran for over 200 yards against them. Stopped the run, did a lot of great things defensively against that front. That's what it comes down to. The Saints defense is very good as well. And Derek Carr's in a new offense, in a system where he's got a fresh start. It's time for the Titans to feel the same way about their offensive line that the Saints do about their quarterback.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, we'll see how it all turns out. Hutt, appreciate it as always, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. So glad that you're back, man. And Chase, we'll catch up soon. Have a great week.
Absolutely. Jonathan Hutton from Outkick, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow, weekdays 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. We'll come back and put a bow on things. Talk a little bit about the Titans and the Saints coming up this weekend. Chase McCabe, Big Joe Dubin, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.